720 WGN. Hey, it's Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us this fine evening. So, my friends, you know, we can't really enter this time of year without talking about some of the serious topics that come with it. We talk about the fun ones, too. But there are some serious ones. And one of them that weighs heavily on my heart is that from the day before Thanksgiving until New Year's Eve is a time of the year where DUI fatalities go way, way up. And crashes involving alcohol or drugs or distracted driving, whatever, they go way, way up. You know, people are out, they're going to parties, they're doing stuff. People are, you know, sometimes drinking more than they normally would, things like that. And this is a big deal to me because I personally lost a family member to a drunk driver. And when she died, she was 24 years old and she had her whole life ahead of her. And she was thoughtful and creative and funny and all of those things. And she was gone in an instant. And so it's not just a kind of theoretical thing to me. It is a very real thing. And it's an issue that's really, really important to me and close to my heart. And so when we talk about issues of philanthropy and of making the world better, we like to bring our good friend Lisa Dietlin here because she is an expert on all of those things. And we love talking to her about them. So welcome back to the show, Lisa.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Amy. It's a tough subject, but I'm so proud of you and Shane for bringing it to our listeners.
It's an important one, you know, and I think we've changed the numbers a lot.
We have. You know, they've drastically gone down since Mothers Against Drunk Driving, mm-hmm, 35 years ago, you know, came into being in 1980. The numbers have been cut almost in half, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm. There really. And this time of year, again, I mean, I think it doubles for just this last couple months of the year. And mm-hmm, you brought with you some really interesting facts that I want to go through because some of them are so hard to believe. And yet there's the sources and there's the data right there. One that caught my eye that is from the Center for Disease Control, and that is an average drunk driver has driven drunk 80 times before his or her first arrest.
Yeah, isn't that shocking? It's absolutely shocking. And, you know, what scares me is you could be like your cousin, the sober one on the street, in your car and what have you, and then
doing
everything right, and then somebody else is not doing that. I had to take a auto safety class because I was going a little too fast.
Got a little ticket there, did you?
I got a little ticket on mm-hmm Grand Avenue, and so, you know, to not get the points or whatever, I took the class, and what shocked me was the stories of the people around me, because the instructor had us all tell our story.
Why
we were there. And there were a number of us caught in that speed trap on Grand Avenue. You know, but it was shocking to me, like people getting out of the car with baseball bats and trying to get around railroad crossings.
And they were openly saying
this. This one woman, I won't forget, she was saying, you know, she was in labor and she was driving to the hospital and she got pulled over for speeding. And the instructor said, "Wasn't there anyone with you?" She said, "Yeah, my boyfriend was in the car with me." And he said, "Well, why wasn't he driving? She said, "Well, he didn't know the way to the hospital."
Oh, for crying out loud. You make a plan. You have the suitcase packed. You have directions written.
But I was like, oh, my gosh, these people are on the street. And nobody in that class said they had been drinking and driving. Yeah. But I thought, oh, my gosh, this is scary. These are the people that are on the road with us. And so when you think about somebody 80 times having mm-hmm drank, you know, the statistic that jumped out for me was that every day 28 people die from a drunk driver. That's more than 1 hour, people.
Right.
28
That's
people. And that's not counting injuries. People are injured. I mean, it's just shocking to me.
Yeah. I mean, I always say, make a plan.
Right.
You know, I don't care. Go cocktail all you want. That's fine. Make merry, do all of those things. Just make a plan.
Right.
And I feel like if you live in the city, you have no excuse.
Right.
You got to have it. You get a cab.
Yeah.
Call
get
an
a
Uber.
Cab,
you're fine.
Do the L, you know, call a friend, taxi it, whatever you need to do, you know, or walk, you know.
Yeah. But if you're out, if you're like in the burbs, if you're in an area without public transportation, just make a plan. Just decide, you know what, I'll drink tonight. You are going to drive, or vice versa, or whatever. Next time we'll switch, or whatever. And a lot of times, if you're the designated driver and you're going out with friends, not only you have all the dirt on everybody the next day because you remember how stupid everyone
is, always scary,
it's always fun. All the pictures are on your phone, and so you have all the power.
What happens tonight goes on Facebook tomorrow,
right? But also, usually, you know, bartenders will usually like give you, you know, pick up your appetizer bill or give you soda or whatever, because you're being responsible
because you're the designated driver. Yeah, it is make a plan, or you know, I'm a big proponent of the house parties. You know, have people over and have them spend the night. You know, I love the, you know, growing up pajama party. You know, everybody comes and they stay and they don't leave.
Right. Exactly. Right. Those two.
Take the keys.
And other, you know, facts that you brought with you. Every 2 minutes, a person is injured in a drunk driving crash.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having, on average, 28 people a day die. And every 2 minutes, someone is injured.
Yeah.
Let's think about that, because that's not okay. So, as we said, it's important to make a plan. But you also, you brought some great stuff with you from the Making a Difference organization.
Right.
They have some tips that were really good that I really liked about not only having that designated driver, but hiring a car service, if you're going to be out doing a lot of stuff, public transportation, things like that. But one I think a lot of people overlook is the sober ride programs. I think a lot of people don't know about those
right.
in their community. I mean, here on New Year's Eve, you can do the Penny L rides, things
right.
like that.
Right.
But there's a lot of other stuff.
But in most communities, there is some sort of sober ride program. And it's usually done by a civic organization. And, you know, we had that with my class reunion. I had my 30th class reunion a few years ago. And, you know, we had a Budweiser sponsor it, and they also paid for the cab. The person for the cab company to take people home from the class reunion, because you know it's summer, you're drinking, you're with your friends, you might
right.
be a little nervous, and it happens. But they, and this is a rural community in northeastern Michigan, and they said, no, we will pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about paying for the cab. We'd rather have you guys get home safely.
That's excellent.
And so every community has that, and you know, we're all friends with people. Any one of us would take a call from somebody who was intoxicated and go and get them.
Absolutely.
Most of us would. Anybody can call me anytime and
yeah.
say, I need your help. And I'm getting in the car and I'm going,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
To help them versus them getting, you know, I had a step parent that was an alcoholic and a drinker. And what we would say to him is, because he said, well, it's always fine. I've never hurt anyone. And I said, but what do you say to that family when you wipe them out?
Mm-hmm.
Because usually the person who's drunk that doesn't get hurt, it seems like, you know, that they're
right.
not the one that hurt. It's the family that they plow into the car, and three of the four members of that
mm-hmm.
family. I said, what are you going to say to that family? And then, we would have a discussion. What would we say? Because you're trying to help that person. But that, in my case, that my stepfather had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in fear every single day. Like, what is going to happen?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that are kind of tied around this issue that just make it so fraught. I mean, sometimes it is about substance abuse
mm-hmm.
and alcoholism. Sometimes it's someone just kind of went to a party, got overserved and made the wrong call.
Right.
And,
and you do your Guth gauntlet it.
Right.
You know, when I'm driving, when I leave here, I always think, oh my gosh, is somebody going to stumble out in front of my car?
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, because as we talked about last time, I was hit and run over by mm-hmm. a taxi, and it was, you know, the taxi driver was sober. But I think, you know, driving, just going down from River North area, oh my gosh, people are wandering out in the street. And if you've had even a drink, is your judgment, is your ability to respond going to be slowed down?
Right, right. I mean, I feel like driving in the city, driving anywhere, but especially driving in the city, you need all of your faculties.
Right. Put down the phone, people.
And there's an ad campaign that I like a lot, and the phrasing in it is something like, buzzed driving is drunk driving.
Yes.
Which is really excellent, because sometimes people go, hey, they think they're doing the right thing. They check in with their friend. Hey, are you okay to drive? Yay, I'm just buzzed. I'm good.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
It will delay it enough to,
right.
you know, when you have a second to react.
I said that to a friend recently who said, well, no, you've never seen me drunk. You've only seen me buzzed. And I said, I'm buzzed is
yeah.
drunk.
Right. So what about supporting these organizations? You know, I know Mothers Against Drunk Driving has been around for such a long time. Students Against Drunk Driving, that's another one.
Right. And they're taking on also the issue of drug impairment.
And also I'm starting to see them taking on distracted driving.
Correct.
Like with cell phones, things
Correct.
Like that.
Correct. Because it is about, you know, even though we're reducing the number of deaths by alcohol related, you know, we hear constantly about the heroin addiction problem
mm-hmm.
in our country and other issues. And now that we marijuana is becoming legal, there could be issues with that impairing our driving ability. And so they're taking on those issues. So Mothers Against Drunk Driving, what most people don't realize is December is drunk and Drug Driving Prevention or Awareness mm-hmm. Month. That the whole month of December is. And a lot of times with the Fraternal Order of Police and other local police authorities, they do the Tie One On campaign, where you tie a ribbon on, a red ribbon mm-hmm. on your mirror outside your car. Or they have bumper stickers or decals that you can use to tie one on, meaning let's just, when you see that red ribbon, you know, it's like the when you used to tie a string around your finger, a rubber band on your mm-hmm. wrist to remind you of something. If you have that on, maybe you won't get in the car and you won't start it and you won't drive with a right. little bit of impairment.
Right, because I think that's what people do. They like, even in their own mind, I'm fine.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
had good. A cup of coffee. Yeah, and that's I'm what good. That was the other statistic.
Only time yeah. will sober you up, not coffee.
Right, not coffee, not a cold shower, not like, oh, well, I'm going to walk around the block and I'll get in the car and it'll no. be okay. You know, I really encourage people to have those tough discussions, because when people have been overserved or they've overindulged, they don't make the best decisions. And sometimes I think we worry about our friendship more than
sure.
Their lives and the outcome that could happen. And you know, in this day and age, I think it's important to say step up and have courage. Yeah. You know, one of the things I think we lack in our country is that courage, that ability to stand up and say what you really believe and say, you know what, I think you've been served too much, let me help you
yeah.
get home.
Let me really be a good friend to yeah. you right now.
And if it cost me the friendship, that's okay, but I've helped you get home.
Right. You it know. Might cost me the friendship, but it's going to save your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Or collect people's keys. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Collecting people's keys and saying, okay, they're all going in. If you're having a house party, you know, they're all going in this drawer and they're being locked in this drawer. And, you know, we're not letting them out till, I don't know, people are sober, you know, right. people in the morning, whatever your plan of action is.
I think another thing, too, I see this a lot as the rise of social media has happened in the last, you know, handful of years. I really get a bit sideways when I see this happen too. But sometimes on Twitter, I will see people tweeting the locations of DUI checkpoints.
Ooh, I have not seen that.
And that is really disturbing, because sometimes it's people just kind of complaining, like, oh my gosh, there's a super bad traffic here because there's a DUI checkpoint. But sometimes I see it like, hey, if you're out tonight, FYI, DUI checkpoint on so-and-so street. You are essentially giving people permission to drive drunk at that mm-hmm. point. I mean, I think you are very mm-hmm. complicit in doing
absolutely.
That at that point.
I think you are. You know, you're helping people to skirt that area. Say, okay, I can drink as long as I don't go down,
that street.
You know, that area.
Yeah.
I can drink and it's okay. And thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Well, what happens? What happens if there's an accident?
Yeah. And I mean, I have always felt a moral obligation when I've seen someone tweet that. I've always said something to them.
Really? And any response?
Usually just telling me to go jump in the lake and in some degree.
Back to the harassment, right?
Right. You know, but I just say, hey, you know, why did you tweet that? And most people are like, because I want my friends to have fun and not worry about it. Well,
they should worry about it.
They should. It's there to save lives. It's not to, you know, I think sometimes the popular narrative is around not getting caught as
right.
opposed to not doing the wrong thing. And at right. the end of the day, I mean, we need to focus on saving lives and keeping people safe. And, you know, no family should have to get that call.
No.
And it doesn't get easier with time. It's there forever. And once someone's gone, they're gone.
Right.
And
what did that driver, I mean, how did that driver feel? How did that driver for the rest of their life be impacted by the fact that what they did, their actions, whether it was purposeful, like, I don't care, I'm driving, it doesn't matter, you know, a bully type attitude, or somebody who just had that extra half a glass of wine or that extra beer and got in the car, and the rest of their lives, they have to live with that fact that because of their action, because of their judgment, and because perhaps none of their friends or family members stood up to them and said, mm-hmm. you are too impaired, you are too intoxicated, let me take the keys, they completely changed another family's life.
Absolutely. And you know, took so much potential out of the world. You know, every human being, I believe, has potential to be something great. And to, you know, blot them out, especially early in their lives, that's a huge tragic thing to me. One time I was in a parking lot of a 7-Eleven and I walked in and I got like my bottle of water and I zipped back up to my car. And there was a woman parked right up by the door, and she said she had an interlock device on her car.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to disable it? No, she was trying to get someone else to do it for her because she couldn't pass it.
Oh.
And she was standing there asking people in the parking lot, hey, can you do my car breathalyzer so I can start it? I can't start it.
And?
I thought I was going to faint when she said that to me. I was like, are you joking? First of all, I have no idea who you are.
Right.
Second of all, if you can't pass a breathalyzer, you shouldn't be driving.
Right.
And she, you know, oh, you're a stick in the mud. You're so lame. Well, I'm helping you.
Did anybody do it while you were there in that time frame?
No, I went back in and I told the clerk, and I was like, you may want a cop to swing by for her own good. And he was like, wow, you're ratting her right out. I said, yeah, I'm absolutely ratting her out because she could blot me off this earth at the next red light. And I don't think I want to do that today. I got things to do. I'm not trying to get wiped out. So it's, you know, it's complicated. And I think you really nailed it, Lisa, when you said, you know, sometimes we don't have courage right now. We got weird where we can't have hard conversations with people, and we do the easy thing and, oh, I don't want to tell so-and-so this. And
well, that's my question to you. You know, what do they say when you said that, you know, when they're tweeting that here's where there's a DUI checkpoint and you say something and they say, go jump in the lake. Well, most people don't want to deal with that. You're a very strong person to be able to say, I don't care what you say back to me. I need to ask you, I need to create this awareness in your life and say, this is important. This is an important topic. And why are you, you know, being complicit in that? And people just don't have that courage because they're afraid of the backlash. They're afraid of what people are going to say to them.
Right.
They want to be liked. They want to be the good person.
They want to be liked. And that's, I think that can be really problematic. But I think it only takes one moment in our lives to see something in very clear focus. And that can be on a minor scale or a major one. And in my case, and I think many people's cases, right, we see things on a bigger scale because, you know, suddenly
we've been impacted.
I have no sympathy in that way now. I have a totally different perspective because of the way that I've seen it, because I lost a family member to a drunk driver. And so to me, like, none of it's funny at all. None of it is even, you know, I mean, I think I even sometimes hear people talking about that of, you know, oh my gosh, I don't remember how I got home last night. Like, well, you know, that's not funny. No. That's not okay. And I wish that wasn't as accepted as we have made it. And I think part of that too is, as you said, the unwillingness to have hard conversations. We'd rather kind of laugh off bad behavior than have a really hard conversation. So I challenge everyone to do better, to have the courage to say, hey, you know what? That's not cool. That's not okay. Let's hang out. Let's have breakfast for another hour and then you can drive or whatever.
And let's have a buddy system. Yeah. You know, let's absolutely have a buddy system and a plan of action. If you want to do something that can really make a difference, and you know, I'm always providing tips and ideas, and there's a gazillion of them on my website and you can find them all over. But the biggest thing you could do is be a really good friend or family member and say, you know what, we're going to have a plan tonight. We're going to go out. We're going to have a great time, but we're going to have a plan and we're going to get home safe and we're going to wake up tomorrow morning and we're going to laugh, but we're not going to laugh about the fact that we don't know how we got home. We're going to laugh about what actually happened.
And all the crazy photos on my phone because I was the designated driver.
And we're going to laugh about that, but we're going to know we're going to be safe getting home. Right. And we're also going to keep an eye out on everybody else. You know, I have seen, and usually it's young women, you know, walking down the street intoxicated and, you know, stumbling and saying, stopping and going back and saying, can I help you?
Oh, I have fully leaving this station because I leave as the time that bars are getting out. I stopped a woman one time and I helped her get into a cab, and she was, I was afraid for her. I was like, someone might try to take advantage of you. You're in no position to consent to anything right now, to describe, you know, she didn't even know where she was.
Right.
And I was like,
probably didn't know who she was at that point.
I made her, I was like, do you know how to get to your house? She was like, turn left. I was like, what's your address? I mean, I kept, you know, I was like, do you have money for this cab? Are you good? Are you, you know, we have to help each other out. Even strangers, I think we kind of get into the bystander thing a little bit of, well, I don't know that person. It's not my problem. We do.
I'm not going to ask that question because I don't know what they're going to say. I'm always doing that. My friends are like, are you going to stop talking to people on the street? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. This person looks like they're in trouble. You know, this young person, it could be somebody crying. It could be somebody who's having a really tough time, or somebody who's clearly intoxicated and stumbling down the street and, you know, doesn't seem to know where they're going. And you need to have those conversations and ask them, where are their friends? Where are their family members? Where do they live?
All right, my friends, again, from the day before Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve, this time of year, DUI injuries, crashes, and fatalities go way, way up. And the only thing that's going to stop that is if we all have the courage to have those hard conversations with the people that we know and the people that we see doing the wrong thing, even if we don't know them.